America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I would imagine Bob Pompiani is getting ready to introduce Mike Tomlin over on the south side here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And man, the Steelers got to deal with a beast. Jaden Daniels, here's the coach.
Good afternoon. Just feel really awesome coming off a bye week. Been in the league a long time. I don't know that I've ever run across a bye week that I didn't feel like was timely. Or appreciate it for the collective, and this one's the same. You know, from a football perspective or a strategy perspective, probably less significant than in years past. I think with the flow of information today, I think some of the self-scout things, some of the things that you traditionally think about regarding bye weeks are more of a continual thing in today's game. At least it is for us in all three phases. Every week we allocate a certain amount of time into self-evaluation or self-scout or analysis, if you will. And so it makes that less of a dramatic thing when you lean in on bye week than years past. But we did have a productive week in that regard, just looking at everything that we do in all three phases, how we divide the labor up, what we're doing well, what we're not doing well, in the effort to narrow our focus so we can make victory more fluid over the second half of the year in terms of our performance. So it was a good week in that regard. It was also a good week for those who are leaking a little bit or lack 100% health to regain some of that and get on a moving train, if you will. We got a lot of guys who've been out who have a chance this week, man. We'll be watching their participation on a variety of levels to determine whether or not they'll be included or not. Guys like Corey Trice, Nick Herbig, C. Patterson, Zach Frazier, Tyler, all of those guys who have been out in recent weeks and in some cases an extended period of time on the cusp of it. And so we'll see where their participation leads us and what roles we might carve out for them. Same thing could be said for Cam Sutton, who's available to us now. And so, you know, really bye week is probably spent pondering those possibilities, how to better divide up labor as we get capable people back to us. But I don't view that as a problem. And that's a first world problem, if that's a problem, having guys that are capable and guys that have ascended and performed well in their absence and the complications of infusing them back into the fold, again, is a problem that I welcome if you want to describe it as that. And so that's what bye week was about for us. But now as we turn our attention to the Commanders, I'll talk briefly about those guys. Really impressed with first and foremost what they're doing offensively on their young signal caller. Quarterback mobility is an asset to him, but I've been really impressed by his prudent use of it. Not only him, but you got to acknowledge Coach Kingsbury as the architect of it. Their ability to prudently utilize his mobility, particularly in weighty moments, to keep the defense off balance, to win lines to gain, to score points. It shows up in a lot of situational statistics or circumstances. They got 15 rushing touchdowns. They lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. His quarterback mobility is a component of that. They're 11 of 11 on the season on fourth down conversions. You watch that reel. His mobility whether by design or ad lib, is a component of that. It doesn't matter what tape you put on, third down, red zone operation. His mobility is a major factor, whether it's by design or by ad lib, play extension, escape. It is something to be reckoned with. It's one of the core components of why they're a dangerous group. You couple that with their unique ball security. They've turned the ball over 3 times in 9 games. I think that's a record of some description through 9 games in the NFL. They've thrown 2 interceptions, and they fumbled 1 time. You lead the league in rushing touchdowns. You're running the ball as effectively as a collective as they are, and you've only turned it over 3 times in 9 games, man, you're going to be 7-2. And so, man, we're preparing with an edge. We respect those things. But they got a total unit. McLaren is a guy that is a significant winner in one-on-one matchups. We better do a really good job of thoughtfully managing our exposure to him and working to minimize him, particularly in circumstances. But they do a nice job of utilizing all the eligibles. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the impressive complementary backfield that they have. Robinson is kind of a nuts and bolts downhill guy. Everyone in football is familiar with Eckler and his talents in the running game and in the passing game. And Jeremy McNichols has done a really nice job for him. We had Jeremy here a couple of years ago in training camp with us, man. He's a core special teams contributor. And, you know, Coach Kingsbury is doing a nice job of finding football for him within the offensive structure as well. Ertz is a dangerous tight end. Is capable of getting down the grass, man, and they got a well-rounded wide receiver group that makes them a formidable group in 3 wide receiver sets and so forth. On the defensive side of the ball, man, they're highly fundamental. They're very rarely out of place. They don't give up big plays. I think they're 5th in the league in pass defense, and I think that's reflective of the lid that they keep on it continually. Man, they're inside linebacker tandem. Not only is a catalyst for them in terms of playmaking and energy, but you see how they thoughtfully utilize their talent schematically. Luvu, man, is an awesome combination linebacker in that he's really good at playing off the ball, but he's also good at rushing the passer. You get in one-dimensional passing circumstances, he essentially becomes a defensive end. They deploy him in similar ways as they did Michael Parsons when Michael was young, and he was kind of more of a hybrid player in Dallas. Obviously, Michael's more of an end now, but when he was young, he was more of a hybrid, and I think about that when I see the many ways that they're moving Luvu around and finding ways to get him on a variety of people from a rush standpoint. Bobby Wagner, you know, what can you say about Bobby that hadn't already been said, man? He's got a legendary body of work for this generation, 194 games, 193 starts, you know, over 1,000-plus career solo tackles. Man, you could tell he's a student of the game and hub of communication for them. You know, their new outfit in that everyone is new to the schematics and new to Dan Quinn's approach to business, but Bobby Wagner isn't. And I imagine that he is a catalyst for growth within that collective and a hub of communication and really steadies a lot of warders. You watch their tape. You can tell he has a lot of latitude in terms of getting them in and out of defenses. And just that time-tested relationship in a variety of locations, man, you cannot put a price tag on. And I'd imagine he's been really significant while they've done some of the really nice things that they've done. Up front, man, you got to deal with Payne inside, Fowler outside. They've got some turnover on the edge. But again, they have some guys that are familiar to Dan Quinn, man. I think Dan coached Fowler at Florida. For example, and so there's some relationships or some depth to those warders that I think aid transition. They've been really thoughtful in that regard. They've done a nice job of tooling their secondary in recent years with top quality draft talent. Mike Forbes at corner and the acquisition of Jeremy Chinn at safety, I can't say enough about. Have always respected Chinn's game. He's good in a lot of ways, man. He's good down in and around the line of scrimmage versus the run. He plays big nickel for him. He's a good blitzer. He covers tight ends and one-dimensional passing moments. And so he's a good and versatile player that I think really adds value to them on the back end. As I mentioned, they're very good at the turnover game. They're good at getting them. They're good at possessing the ball. We're playing them in their venue. They're a 7-2 bunch, and so on the surface, obviously, there's a lot of things to be excited about. We're equally as excited just to getting back to doing what it is that we're doing and getting back in a stadium and competing. And so, with that being said, I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, is eight games enough of an indicator to determine, you know, what you are or what your identity is?
You know, I think that, you know, that's a slippery discussion because oftentimes your immediate identity is affected by current circumstance. When there's a lack of player availability in certain areas, oftentimes it affects how you go about business. For example, for a large part of that eight games that you mentioned, we only had TJ and we didn't have Alex Highsmith or Nick Herbig. And so that might affect, you know, how you rush, particularly in one-dimensional moments. And so broadly, yes, but there's some complexities if I'm legitimately answering that question, because oftentimes your day-to-day decisions in the short term are affected by current circumstance. And so the larger body of time that you look at, the more true that statement is. And oftentimes eight games can be or cannot be enough of a sample size to legitimately address that.
You like where you are after eight games?
You know, I've learned not to overanalyze it, to be quite honest with you. There's a, you know, axiom in coaching, you are what your record is. And so I don't waste a lot of time pondering, to be quite honest with you. I'm just trying to focus on number seven.
Mike, what did you see in the Giants tape that you want to shore up run defense-wise?
You know, there's a lot. Some of it is really good execution by them, to be quite honest with you. I think that was reflected in their ability to run the ball last Sunday against the Commanders. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that, man. We're in the ultimate competitors league, man. The people that we play week in and week out, man, are very good at what they do. They spend a lot of time preparing. And as I watched football from afar last weekend, sitting on a bye, I it didn't miss me that the Giants had an effective run game in the subsequent game. And so I tip my cap to them, but certainly we can get better in some areas in terms of, you know, fundamental things, whipping blocks, making tackles, us as coaches, putting them in the very best position to do those things. I think particularly on that big breakout run, that's a call that we as a coaching staff wish that we could have back, for example.
Mike, what do you anticipate Cam Sutton's role to be now that you have him back?
You know, that's to be determined, but I think that's one of the things that makes Cam so interesting and valuable to us. He is a utility back. His football intellect and physical capabilities is such that he can play anywhere, and he has, to be quite honest with you. His last year for us, he was an outside corner. He was a nickel. He was a dime. He was capable of playing safety at times and allowing Minka to move around and come down and do other things. And that versatility, that utility component, is a major attraction to us. I know there's been a lot of speculation, to be quite honest with you, about how he and Beanie might function. You know, it's really two separate discussions. Cam is capable of playing anywhere in the secondary, and so if people need to be concerned about reps or division of labor, I would advise everybody in the secondary to be on notice because Cam is that versatile.
Mike, what have you learned maybe about your wide receiver depth through the first eight games?
You know, that when called upon, they're capable of delivering. And I just think with each passing week, like the sample size component discussion we're having over here, there'll be more opportunities to display that. Particularly as people work schematically to minimize George, it creates one-on-one opportunity for others. Sometimes people have dual agendas. They want to minimize George and Pat, and that further creates opportunities for others. I just feel like we have a group that's hardworking and capable and can't wait to show the football world those capabilities. And every time we step into a stadium, they get an opportunity to do so, and you've seen some examples of it already.
Obviously, the trade deadline is here in a couple hours. Is there a piece that needs to be added to that group? Do you anticipate any kind of movement?
We work the trade market, not only at that position, but all positions. I think every team does, particularly those of us that are trying to lean in as the road gets narrow. And so I acknowledge that we're active participants in trade discussions. But to be quite honest with you, we always are. And so, you know, I wouldn't read too much into that behavior. I just think that's normal, prudent business for us if you're trying to be a developing world championship outfit.
With Russ at quarterback now, does that perhaps heighten your desire to add to that room because you might be able to net more out of the passing game, or is he the kind of quarterback that can get more out of what you have?
I don't know that his presence or lack of his presence changes our appetite for adding talent. Talent that could help us win, not only at that position, but any. I just think that's always our mentality, particularly talent at value.
Mike, what do you think about the trajectory of the discipline you guys have shown in your past defense from coverage assignments and reacting to what opposing offenses do?
You know, I think we've done some nice things, but I think that particularly when you face quarterback mobility and the ability to extend plays, that really gets challenged. And so stay tuned, particularly over the next couple of weeks, you'll get a good example of where we are in terms of some of that.
Before the bye week, Najee had posted three consecutive 100-yard games. Just collectively, offensively, you know, what needs to continue to keep you guys on that current trajectory running the football?
You know, we don't define ourselves by Najee's 100-yard games. We got to run the football as a collective. Obviously, he's a significant component of that. But we got a bunch of capable people. Jalen's capable. Patterson's capable. And so if you're talking about the running game, certainly we desire to have an effective running game and control the line of scrimmage to minimize one-dimensional moments, to be in third and manageable. That's been an agenda of ours, and that's been the component of the three-game stretch that you're talking about that really captures my attention.
Mike, you mentioned Jaden Daniels' mobility. What strikes you as when you watch him as a passer?
You know, his prudent ability to maintain possession of the ball, to be a young guy, to extend plays, to do the things that come with extending plays. Oftentimes, play extensions means more variance in terms of outcome of play, sometimes good, sometimes bad. He's been able to extract the good from those moments while minimizing the bad. And I just think that speaks to his savvy and his experience. And I say experience because, you know, rookie quarterbacks come at you in a variety of forms, man. This guy has been a franchise quarterback for two different universities. He brings experience in the way that Bo Nix does. All rookie quarterbacks aren't the same. Some guys come with a lot of experience. Some guys come as guys with upside, man, and talent. And so I can't say that I'm completely shocked by some of the things he's done, because he had an extended body of work in college at two different universities.
When you're preparing for him, do you go back to that body of work in college to do some of the scouting, or are you basically?
No, we got nine games of NFL tape to look at.
In that same vein, what are some of the challenges of specifically facing a rookie compared to some of the vets, guys like Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, who've seen this?
I don't view it any differently. I don't categorize what I'm looking at as rookie or veteran. I just look at what's on tape and build an appropriate plan relative to it. I don't think you'll find anybody that would say he's playing like a rookie. And sometimes some veteran players play like a rookie. And so I generally just look at tape. I don't care about the narrative component of it, to be quite honest with you.
Mike, what happened with Justin Fields at the end of the last game week, and do you expect him to be ready this week?
He experienced a minor hamstring injury on our last day of practice going into the Giant game. We didn't want a small problem to become a big problem. We designated him the third quarterback. But given the bye week, man, and the week that's ahead of us, we're not imagining that to be a problem. But again, we'll let participation be our guide in terms of how we divide the labor up.
You named Russ the starter. You did say that there was going to be the potential for a Justin Fields package. Do you anticipate seeing that as we go down the line here?
I would always anticipate seeing that, as long as both guys are on our roster.
Mike, when you have a week where you don't do that well stopping the run, like Cam, for example, is upset about after the game, does it help in a way when you know, like, you got team of the league's league in rushing touchdowns and you got the Ravens coming the week after that? Does that help get their attention maybe even more quickly?
No, we don't care about the Joneses, man. Our story is our story. We got an agenda that we're trying to live, and when we don't meet it, man, you know, we're thumb pointers. We guys that look in the mirror. And so the opponent, the nameless gray faces that we play are irrelevant in terms of the agendas, particularly the things that we value and the places that we hang our hat.
Just following up on your comments about McLaurin, in terms of his personal skill set and how he's deployed by Washington, is it similar to what you've seen recently in Devontae and CeeDee Lamb?
No, it's not, particularly in terms of CeeDee, man. CeeDee works a lot inside. You know, this guy's his own man. They do a nice job highlighting him and getting him in one-on-one circumstances. You know, Devontae was so new to the Jets, I really can't describe his role, or I didn't have a clear understanding of his role. And so I'd be reaching if I was comparing that to recent matchups in that regard.
Mike, have you used Joey a little less to shadow a guy? And if so, is that a byproduct of having Dante on the other side?
No, we're putting him where we deem appropriate. Sometimes matching a guy is most appropriate. Sometimes putting him in isolation formation structure is appropriate, meaning people that do a lot of backside one-on-one stuff on the backside of formations probably merit that he plays away from the nickel. He's been doing some of that. The big thing is week in and week out, man, we believe he's a top-notch guy, and we want to figure out the best way that we can utilize his talents and the effort to help us. Sometimes it's one-on-one football. Sometimes it's within the framework of offensive structure, and we make that decision week in and week out. Sometimes it's right and left. We have a lot of information at our disposal relative to analytics that aid us in that discussion. That make it a little bit more complex discussion as opposed to, you know, telling Joey to follow McLaren, for example.
Mike, when it comes to Russ, we've got Calvin Austin, George Pickens, guys have talked about how much that they've worked with him before and after practice on specific routes, timing, and extra things that they're like, hey, we're really nailing this down. How much have you seen him bring that better experience away from just practice to go the extra mile in ways that, you know, maybe haven't been as regularly?
I'm not going to make that something unique, and they're probably not either. They're just answering questions. I don't know a professional quarterback and receiver crew that doesn't work before and after practice, particularly if you're trying to be great and compete for a world championship. That's just standard operating procedure.
Anyone else? All right.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations on the most boring news conference of the year, Brian Batko, although I expected it. They're coming out of a bye. There's other things happening that he can't talk about, presumably like calls on trades. It was all set up to be boring, and everybody delivered. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. I mean, the trade deadline answer from Tomlin was what we've come to expect, of course. Not going to tip his hand one way or the other. He's not going to pull the Jerry Jones and say, we are bringing in a receiver we've liked for a long time.
Right.
And then delivers Jonathan Mingo on the doorsteps of Cowboys fans. But the answer before that about the receiving core, I feel like he's not laying it on too thick to praise these guys. He's leaving a decent bit of wiggle room of, yeah, they're professionals. They get opportunities. They try to show what they can do. But there's always something left unsaid there.
Yeah.
A little bit of dearth of playmakers, certainly.
Our friend Benzie took a little shot at the end, did he not?
He just didn't get any back and forth, any interplay from Tomlin. And really, I mean, neither did our buddy Chris Carter there at the end either. Tomlin was kind of all business. I wonder on a day like this, do you want to just get right back to watching the film, getting the intel from Omar Khan and company? And like you said there, Joe, when we came back, they're a boring team right now in a good way. There's no drama. There are no distractions, which is... good for a team that's 6-2 and at least temporarily has figured out the quarterback situation.
The injury situation to me is the most interesting thing. And basically he just said, we're leaving a light on for all these guys and we'll see where their participation leaves us. Everybody from Corey Trice to Nick Herbig to Cordero to Zach Fraser, Matakevich. Is there anyone I'm missing from that?
Justin, did you say Justin Fields?
Fields,
was a minor hamstring deal.
Missing is a new word, Brian. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Sounds like a horror movie. The missing.
Of those guys, is there anybody from what you hear that won't play?
The one I'm probably the most concerned about would be Nick Herbig.
Mm.
I was out there yesterday at practice getting some of that coveted video of players going through individual drills, which we're allowed to shoot and take photos of and disseminate to the masses. And I don't know that maybe I missed them, but I didn't catch a glimpse of old Herbig in there. But we'll see. Got to think he'll be back sooner than later. but it'd be nice to have him this week to have that three-headed monster of edge rushers.
Man, I'll say, and it leads to a question that I would ask you in a moment here. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette joins me every Tuesdays. Tuesdays with Batko, we like to call it. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. The Mike Tomlin presser reaction brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, there's not a Parmore store near you. Now, there will be soon. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The idea of adding somebody today, Brian, it's where we spent a good hour and a half this morning. Our colleague Jerry Dulac says they may be focusing on other areas instead of wide receiver. Where do you think their focus should lie? I suppose it depends on the player involved, but defensive line for me is a big one, and among the top 10 players listed out there as available, Chase Young is there, Calais Campbell is there. If you're of the mind that Ogunjobi's having a so-so or bad year, Benton's been up and down, and the depth is lacking, that could be an important position. Where would you put your priority?
Still receiver, and if I were the Steelers, I would want feelers to be put out there to the outside world that it's not that high on our priority list. Don't worry about this conditional seventh-round pick we're offering you for your wide receiver. We don't really care that much. We need our better picks for D-linemen, maybe an O-lineman, maybe an edge rusher. That's what I would want the outside world to think if I were Omar Khan and crew.
Well, then we get into the receivers, and we had a long discussion. What was the name of the heavy metal band there? Toy something God? I can't remember.
Toy Called God.
Toy Called God. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't.
Their lead guitarist, I believe, weighed in from Seattle or somewhere out there that it was ridiculous to talk about DK Metcalf because it's never going to happen and he's their best offensive player. Yet we had Jason Lockenfour on the air today saying teams are calling left and right about DK because his contract's up, because Smith and Jigba has taken over as the number one receiver. Many reasons for that. Would you have interest in him, and do you think they do?
Absolutely, but I don't. I'm with the Toy of God guy. I don't understand why the Seahawks would deal him when they're 4-5, still in the thick of the NFC. That seems like a division, the NFC West, that is basically up for grabs in the second half of the season.
I mean, for those reasons, his contract is up. They have a new number one guy, and they've lost 5 of 6. They're falling apart, Brian.
I'm seeing here that he's got another year left after this season.
Yeah,
on his deal.
Right, but
what do you mean his contract's up, though? Why can't he be a part of the solution for them?
I mean, he could. What I'm saying is he'll need a new contract. I don't think he's going to go into next year with a $31 million cap hit. The guy's going to need to be signed in the offseason. So technically, you're right, his contract
I don't know
up.
Enough about the Seahawks' salary cap circumstances and overall trajectory of their franchise. I just, looking at it as I'll call myself a casual NFC West observer, as I think most of us are here in Pittsburgh. I just don't see why they would deal him. I mean, if they can get an absolute treasure chest of picks and assets, I guess everybody has a price. But what kind of message would that send to your team? And even Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's a good player and he's been doing well lately. But DK Metcalf is, in my mind, still an absolute stud receiver at this point. And that's why if I were the Steelers, sure, I'd call if I were really any of the other 31 teams, I'd call.
Of course. Why not? Brian came in here very feisty today. I can tell limits. He doesn't want to be taken off guard by the pit bull like he was last week. So he's come in and he's proactive this week. Are you sensing the same?
He got a lot of rest during the bye week.
He
so
did
he's got
get
his
that.
Whole bit of energy.
Yeah.
Daylight savings. Although daylight savings with little kids is not really helpful.
No, they
sometimes
don't care about that.
It's actually counterproductive.
Right. He's champing at the bit, or is it chomping at the bit?
It's technically champing, but I believe both are accepted now, right?
What is the act of champing? What does that mean?
It's probably an old word.
Is it a synonym for chomping? And what's the bit?
The thing that I'm a stickler for, since we just had it, is bye week. Why has bye become so acceptable when it doesn't advance you in a bracket or a tournament in the NFL?
I don't understand what you're saying.
It's just an off week. A bye is when you get an opportunity in a bracket or a tournament you don't have to play and you advance.
He's very argumentative today. Are you sensing that limit?
Well, they advanced from week 5 or from week 8 to 9 to 10. That's why they advanced. Advanced in the NFL week. It was a bye to another week.
Now, wait a second.
I don't think that's the definition of a bye, though.
I know. but we need to move on.
Okay.
You're right, I think, technically. And you're very good at those things, picking out technicalities.
I'm a very literal person.
Surely you can see the rationale behind dealing Metcalf, even if you don't think the Seahawks should. He's going into the final year of his deal. They have a new number one receiver, at least according to people like Locke and Fora, and they're falling apart. They're falling apart. They've lost 5 of 6.
They're a Jekyll and Hyde team, for sure.
I can see the rationale in wanting to keep him, for sure, because they're still in it in that crappy division, although I think the Niners are going to come together and win that division by 3 games. But I can also see the rationale for why they would be, why teams think they have a shot at him.
I just think with a middle-of-the-road kind of QB like Geno Smith, who's a veteran, who's played some pretty good football, better than people anticipated when he got that opportunity, I'm not sure what else you're doing if you're the Seahawks. If, you know, you send Metcalf away and then you're just in kind of full-on rebuild mode, turning the page.
Maybe. I mean, they're under 500 and they've lost 5 of 6. They stink, Brian. But you're probably right,
I don't know
though.
If they stink. They've got some talent on that team.
Yeah, they're okay.
And Metcalf is probably the most talented player.
Maybe. Maybe. All right, then I'll give you a choice of some other people, and you can tell me who you'd pick. In fact, I'll give you the intermission, the very brief intermission.
Are we doing this in a vacuum?
To think about this.
Or are we considering the value that it would probably take to get these guys? Because, like, obviously DK Metcalf's going to be higher than a Mike Williams.
Sure, but I'm going to take Metcalf off the table because it's caused great consternation here. We're going to go with more realistic choices. And I'm going to give you the very brief intermission to contemplate. Darius Slayton, Mike Williams, Adam Thielen, perhaps Cortland Sutton, or anybody else you can name. And then I'm going to give you a choice between any one of those guys and fortifying your defensive line with either Chase Young or Calais Campbell. Brian Batko can think about that. You can think about that. You can think about how many assets or what kinds of assets you want to offer up right now. Because you would only part with precious assets if you consider yourself to be a legitimate contender, I would think.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
What's going on here, Limits? This is the worst trade deadline day ever.
Everybody made the trades before the actual
Nothing's
deadline.
Nothing's happened. There's a lot of guys out there. Maybe that's good for the Steelers, Brian. Maybe Omar is playing this right. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because either he's playing it really right or really wrong, you know? We have a bell ringer.
We're waiting for the bell to be rung.
Oh, you teased me there. That was a bell ringer.
It was a tease of the bell.
You know, when you get to deadline, that's when bargains happen if you're bargain basement shopping. But if he doesn't make a move at receiver, will he have failed this team?
I think that's a fair question to ask. With the way things are going right now for this team at 6-2, and just from being in the locker room most days, Joe, I don't get a sense that this is one of those Steelers teams that's like closing ranks and saying, we got, we don't need anybody else from the outside. I think they would welcome a little bit of an influx of experience or talent to try to get them over the hump. I also don't think these guys are delusional. I mean, they see what the Chiefs have done in back-to-back years. They've been on the receiving end of some poundings from the Bills, the Texans. They know the Ravens are really good, even though they always play them tough. I think you never make a move just for optics. That's silly. But I think it would tell these guys a little bit if Omar Khan just does something, just tries to take a flyer on somebody. Not mortgage the future. I'm not saying that. Although I would give up a lot for DK Metcalf, to go back to our previous discussion. But
would you give up a second round pick?
Yeah, I think I would.
So would I.
I think I would. But no, I mean, even if you just give up a late rounder for one of these receivers that you were about to bring up. The game that you were saying before the break sounded quite stressful for me to partake in, but we
either
can still
or
do that if you want.
The either or game that we were going to play?
It
yeah.
was multi-layered. There
oh,
were
yeah.
many names,
no, we're
positions,
gonna get there. We're gonna get
draft
there.
Picks.
But let's not, and this is a general just statement,
yeah.
let's not pretend that trade deadline moves can't change your season in the NFL, can't make your team appreciably better. Like, why is my daughter calling me? That's always concerning in the middle of a show. Sometimes yeah. I think her and my wife just don't know that I'm... Do they know that I'm on the radio?
Maybe she has a trade.
Has that escaped them for some reason?
Maybe she has a scoop.
Roquan... Oh!
This sounds...
What do we have here, Limit?
We have... It's not a trade, but it's a significant rumor to monitor that we have a player that we haven't heard his name before.
Yes, we've resorted to using the bell on rumors.
Yes,
what
big rumors.
Have?
Ian Rappaport saying nothing's been agreed upon or finalized, but talk centering around Saints cornerback Marshawn Lattimore have picked up over the last couple of hours, with the team being in on it, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Washington Commanders.
Holy bird
Washington's
follicles.
Washington's definitely a team to watch, I think, ahead of this game
yeah.
Sunday. I mean, 7-2. Quarterback playing out of his mind. I mean, obviously he's on a rookie deal. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
So why not push a few chips into the middle? Maybe not all your chips like the Chiefs are doing.
A chip or two. Yeah.
But...
a nice little chip or two. Not yeah. all your chips. No one's asking for all your chips. Roquan Smith went to the Ravens in 2022. I think that was pretty good. Von Miller went to the Rams in 21. You think that helped them
DeAndre
win a Super
Hopkins
Bowl?
Is looking like a nice addition already for Kansas
Isn't
City.
Isn't he? Other guys, Christian McCaffrey went to the Niners right around this time 2 years ago. I think that was kind of significant. Oh my God, all hell's broken loose. What now?
Adam Schefter reporting.
Oh, I have something. Okay, go ahead. Brian, perk up a little bit. This could be big.
Despite any speculation, the Seattle Seahawks will not be trading wide receiver DK Metcalf by today's 4 p.m. trade deadline.
I feel... somewhat vindicated.
You're vindicated.
Me and Toy of God.
And so is Toy of God vindicated.
How yeah. did he get it? Is he a Steelers fan who just happens to live out there?
I don't know. He sent me an angry and highly critical text for even bringing up the topic.
Or is he eavesdropping in on anybody who dares to speak of dealing Metcalf?
He may.
He's a Seattle fan. What did you have, Joe?
That was it.
Oh.
Jalen Ramsey.
Maybe that's what your daughter was calling to tell you.
It could be.
Dad, DK Metcalf is not on the move. Give it up.
I can't take the Ron laugh anymore. We got to come up with a new Ron. Maybe it's good for talk radio, my man. I'll take that one. Jalen Ramsey to the Rams happened around this time. Way
Chase
back,
Claypool to the Bears. I think that nearly put them over the top that year.
Way back when, Eric Dickerson to the Colts.
When
Herschel Walker to the Vikings. And Marshawn Lynch to the Seahawks.
You want a funny story about the Chase Claypool trade?
Yes.
So the trade deadline was coming up. I was in a class. There was only six people in my class in Waynesburg. It was like a PR class. And when the trade went down for Chase Claypool being traded to the Bears for a second round draft pick, I yelled in the middle of the class, in the middle of the lecture, "Whoa!" And everybody like looked at me. And I started going crazy. And then they asked, "What is going on?" And I said, "The Steelers got a second for Chase Claypool?" And the guy next to me starts clapping. He's all excited. And they're like, "Oh, okay." But I didn't get in trouble. I was a little embarrassed after, but it was great.
That's okay, Limits. We're very proud of you in any case.
What a fun story.
I mean, that's notable in the context of what we're talking about right now. 2 years ago, Omar Khan, very busy at the deadline.
Who did he bring in? I forget.
Oh, how could you? William Jackson III, Steelers legend.
Yes.
But that's one of those deals where, I mean, they gave them basically nothing, and they took a chance on a guy who, I guess, had a bad back, other issues, never even played for them. But, I mean, it was a flyer. You do something like that this year, and you hope for something better than what William Jackson III gave you a couple years ago. But what I was going to say was last year, we had much of this same speculation on the, well, I guess it wasn't the first Tuesday in November because they moved it back, then the last Tuesday in October, and he did nothing. So.
Yeah.
But that team, that 2023 Steelers team, nobody knew what they were. I mean, Kenny Pickett was, there was a referendum on his play every single week. they were even further from being real contenders, I think, than they are right now. They did go in the tank in the second half of the season. I don't think any sort of player they were going to bring them in was going to help them avoid some of the pratfalls against the likes of the Cardinals and Patriots and Colts. So I didn't necessarily blame Omar Khan for not pulling the trigger on any moves last year, but this year does feel different. This year feels like one where you kind of owe it to yourselves and how you've set yourself up with the Russell Wilson free agency play this offseason. And I'm not going over my skis about Russ, but through two games, it looks really good and you got him for the veteran minimum. So you kind of owe it to yourselves, him, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, some of the other guys on this team. How about we just bring in another potentially helpful piece or two and see what happens?
I agree with every syllable and quarter syllable you just uttered.
Thanks,
honestly.
Joe.
And 4 p.m. is the deadline. I really want to hear that bell again. I feel like Pavlov's dog. I want to hear the bell like the rest of the show. I'm responding to that.
Somebody on the text
like
line
an animal.
Called me a jerk for ringing the bell when it's not a Steelers trade.
Jerk.
He said, hey, jerks, just ring the frickin' bell if the Steelers actually make a trade.
No.
My goodness.
To be clear, it's not just Steelers making a trade. Any trade before, well, in our case, 2 p.m. gets a bell ringer, Brian. Do you agree with that philosophy?
Yes. I want to know what's going on around the league. I want to know if anybody's cut.
At this point, we're so desperate because nothing's happened that we've resorted to ringing the bell just on rumors. I'm okay with that, too.
Do you care about the Browns cutting Quentin Jefferson?
No.
Defensive end?
Veteran. I keep
he's from Woodland Hills, but he's probably not helpful at this point.
I want to hear the bell. Here's USA Today on several trade deadline topics. You ready?
Yes.
Browns trying to tune out deadline buzz. They've already traded Amari Cooper, several other candidates to be sent packing, including Za'Darius Smith.
Well, he did get sent packing.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah, you're right.
So they really tuned it out pretty well by trading another player.
Dalvin Tomlinson and Shelby Harris, wide receiver Elijah Moore, and cornerback Greg Newsome. Those are some enticing names there. Would they trade within the division? If the Steelers called for Dalvin Tomlinson to fortify their defensive line, would they bite?
Probably not, but you never know. I feel like that's a little different than trading a big ticket receiver or something like that to your rival. Shelby Harris, he was once traded for Russell Wilson, if I'm not mistaken, in the Seahawks-Broncos deal a few years back. Elijah Moore doesn't do much for me. I mean, I've been saying for a while now, if the Steelers are going to bring in another receiver, get somebody who's looking down somewhat considerably at me in the locker room. They've got a lot of guys that I'm not quite eye to eye with,
but
it's getting close with Scotty Miller and Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson if he ever gets back. I just think another bigger body is needed on the outside, not just to potentially rotate in, but some depth if George Pickens were to ever go down. He never has, knock on wood, to this point in his NFL career.
I agree with that, too. Could the Saints be sellers at the deadline, writes this person from USA Today, after firing Dennis Allen? And I'll just add, they stink. So you have people like Chase Young. Brian, Chase Young's only 25. And I realize, the injury or injuries have rendered him sort of a shell of what he was. He looked like a defensive player of the year type, but he's only 25.
Tomlin had that interaction with him on the sideline a few years back when he was with Washington.
Right.
So I guess it would have been 2020. And he said something about how we can never get guys.
Yeah, we're
who
never
look
bad
like
enough
you.
To get a guy
right.
who looks like you.
I think edge rusher is somewhat of a distant fourth on their list of potential.
I don't
needs.
Even consider him like fitting into that limited of a category. To me, he's just a body on the defensive line that can help you. And I think they need help.
Yeah.
I don't think Ogunjobi's been good. Benton's been inconsistent, and they got no depth.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather somebody who can really maybe occupy a couple gaps and help you stop the run. That's not Chase Young, but I get what you're saying. An influx of talent to some extent, although it seemed like a lot of people in San Francisco were not very happy with Young last year after they traded for him.
I know.
That's the problem. He's still young, though. It's the kind of reclamation project the Steelers have been attracted by the last several years. So, I mean, that's a name, certainly. The Saints are, I don't know who else they really have other than Lattimore, and I don't think the Steelers need a corner.
Oh, I wanted to hear that. It's very satisfying. Well, what's happening?
They don't have Lattimore anymore.
Oh,
according to Adam Schefter, the New Orleans Saints are sending four-time Pro Bowl corner Marshawn Lattimore to the Washington Commanders. Oh, you'll see them on Sunday.
If I'm any fan of an AFC team, I'm really glad you didn't just say the Kansas City Chiefs, because it gets to be ridiculous with them. Doesn't it, Brian?
Did you say the compensation? Did I tune you out, City Limits?
No. Okay. Ian Rappaport is saying it's a premium draft pick, though. Okay. No specifics yet.
That is a big move. That's
good,
a
good
big
for the Commanders.
Move. Yeah, good for the Commanders. And he'll be, is he hurt or no? Didn't he have a hamstring issue?
The new trend this year for all the trade targets is get quote unquote hurt and don't play. And then you'll get, unless you're Christian Kirk.
And then
Kirk,
do a somersault like Willy Wonka with your new team.
Unless
right?
you're Christian Kirk, who reportedly the Steelers actually were trying to pry away from the Jaguars. And then lo and behold, he breaks his collarbone. I wouldn't have been thrilled by that move either, honestly, if I were, if the Steelers had made that happen.
Made what happen?
Christian Kirk.
I mean, I would have been happy with that move. Maybe not thrilled, but I think they need a guy. That's what we're going to get into, Brian, coming up, the either or game. I've given you a lot of time to prepare for this.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.